Read and hear more about important news and policy issues at ncpolicywatch.com. This is News and Views.
Welcome back to News and Views. I'm Rob Schofield. One of the most worrisome impacts of Hurricane Florence has been the devastating impact it has had on the public education system across parts of southeastern North Carolina. With hundreds of millions of dollars in damage to schools and lost school days for students and teachers, recovery will be a long and arduous process. To get a feel for the magnitude of the problem we're facing and what we can learn from our experience with past hurricanes, I sat down earlier this week with former North Carolina school superintendent Mike Ward. Ward served as superintendent during the aftermath of Hurricanes Fran and Floyd, and later conducted research in southern Mississippi on the impacts of Hurricane Katrina. Well, we're delighted to be joined by Mike Ward, State Superintendent of Public Instruction from 1996 to 2004. Mr. Ward, thank you so much for joining us.
Oh, it's my pleasure. Thanks.
So it's been about a month since Hurricane Florence swept ashore. Many schools in the affected counties are still in recovery mode. Talk to us a little bit about what you've seen and heard about what's going on in a lot of our public schools in the affected areas.
Yeah, the devastation is pretty substantial. Millions upon millions of dollars in damage to school facilities. But the stories that we all are most alarmed by are the stories about the things that have happened to kids and to our colleagues working in the schools. And the news for kids is especially alarming. We were in New Bern a couple of weeks ago, and we're told about one of the schools in the area where the school facility itself is available to start serving kids again. But at that point, over 90% of the kids were displaced because of the damage in the neighborhoods around the school.
We've got confirmation of this, and common sense tells us it's true, that it tends to be the most vulnerable families, the most vulnerable kids who tend to live in the most vulnerable areas, the lowest lying land, the poorest quality housing. It's sort of a vicious circle. Those are the ones who are most likely to be displaced and have the least resiliency in terms of getting back on their feet.
Yeah, and that's not new. In 2005, when Katrina struck, we were in Mississippi with Hope's appointment as the United Methodist bishop there. I worked with some colleagues at the University of Southern Mississippi to study the impact of the storm. And one of the things that we learned early on was that students who are already vulnerable were the most heavily traumatized and victimized by the storm. And the storm simply exacerbated problems they were already experiencing.
Yeah. What about just the issue of kids missing several weeks of instruction? I guess the basic decision we've made, it would seem, lawmakers have made, maybe they didn't have a lot of choice, was just to sort of say, well, we'll have to waive the requirement this year that you go to school the normal length of the school year.
Well, that's the decision at this point. They're not done with their consideration of the impact of the storm, and schools in many instances aren't back in session. I'd like to think that there's going to be a wait-and-see attitude. Just how many days do kids miss? How long is the time out of school? And do we need to revisit the possibility of maybe extending some days at the end of the school year so that kids aren't doubly victimized by this storm, displaced, traumatized, and then academically shortchanged. Yeah.
Tell us about Florence Aid to Students and Teachers of North Carolina, the FAST NC program that you've become involved with.
Sure. Not long after the storm, I had an idea. I called current State Superintendent Mark Johnson and past Superintendent June Atkinson and asked if they'd be willing to partner to set up a fund to help students and educators who've been impacted by the storm. A lot of folks might think that's a heavy lift because I think the last time the two of them were together in front of a microphone, they were debating one another in the 2016 elections. They both immediately said yes. It really warmed my heart that they were willing to reach across partisan lines. Not only the two of them, but Eric Davis, state board chair, former Republican state board chair Phil Kirk, former U.S. Assistant U.S. Secretary of Education Henry Johnson during the George W. Bush administration. These folks all said, yeah, we're willing to reach across partisan lines and other lines of division and to not only send a signal about the need to do something that's bipartisan in this circumstance, but more importantly, to have an impact on kids and educators who've been most substantially harmed by Florence. So FAST NC, Florence Aid to Students and Teachers, by the way, we mean more than just teachers. We mean educators, public school employees, but the acronym didn't work. So FAST NC is about providing funds to kids and educators who've been harmed by this storm.
So they're literally privately raised? I mean, you're raising these funds from all places?
Well, the fund is actually the North Carolina Education Fund. It was set up in the 90s and is under the jurisdiction of the State Board of Education. It's a charitable fund, and Yeah, it's there so that we can raise money from all kinds of sources, other educators, business and educational membership organizations. And we've got over 30 partner organizations who are collaborating with us in FastNC. And just to further emphasize the point of reaching across divides, some of the leaders of these organizations are competitors or aren't always eye to eye on various policy and political issues. But again, they've reached across lines of division to do something worthwhile and meaningful to help kids.
And how will the funds actually be used?
So it depends on what the need is. Uh-huh. We're counting on educators themselves, principals and superintendents to let us know what needs are greatest and what ways that we can use the funds. We don't want to replicate what insurance and county, state, and federal government resources are going to provide. So these would be unique needs, needs that have to do with getting back in and settled into school, supplies, materials, but we're considering other kinds of requests. Some educators and staff members lost their homes. They're out of a place to live. They are literally setting up household again. And so we've thought about a household startup fund for some of these educators. We're going to try and meet a variety of needs, and we're counting on the folks who understand best what those needs are to tell us what they need.
Thank goodness you're doing that. Obviously, the need is enormous. Governor Cooper announced this week $25 million from the Education Lottery Fund would help schools recover. But again, that's not nearly enough to rebuild the damage, to rebuild the infrastructure, the very fabric of our education system in many places. Do you have any idea what that's going to take or what state lawmakers and the governor need to do after this initial $25 million investment?
$25 million is a handsome startup fund.
Sure.
But we've got huge needs out there around facilities and infrastructure. I think a real clear assessment's what's needed right off the bat of what the impact is and what the needs are. And then that tight collaboration between the governor's office, the legislature, the federal government, FEMA, and also insurance providers, so that the resources get where they're needed. And by the way, this spirit of collaboration, of bipartisanship, is not just confined to what we're doing with FastNC. I was really pleased at the tone of the special session of the General Assembly last week. I hope that's a sign of things to come.
Obviously, you've alluded to the fact that you did research and looked at some of the impacts of Katrina in southern Mississippi when you were down there when that terrible storm hit. Talk a little bit more about sort of the trauma that affects kids. Am I right that it's something that's not just seen in the first couple weeks right after the storm is hit? Sometimes the trauma doesn't manifest for a long time afterwards, and it's something maybe we're not always fully cognizant of when we look at the children who are coming to our schools later on with problems.
Yeah, the psychological trauma for kids in a circumstance like this can be pretty extensive, and it's sustained. One of the things that we learned in the research that we did is that we used a statewide sample. We studied all students in the state, and they fell into one of three groups: kids who weren't displaced, kids who were displaced from outside of Mississippi into Mississippi, and kids who were displaced in Mississippi from largely from the coast to a school further inland. And what we found with the two groups of displaced students is that there actually was an ebb in problematic behavior in the early months. We were using state statistics on suspension and expulsion, and those numbers went down. We think that's largely to do with the patience and concern of the teachers who were working with them. We think they got a break in those first few months. 2 years out, 5 years out, behavior had worsened, especially among kids who were displaced by the storm. And of course, 2 years out and 5 years out, if you don't have a good system of that allows you to know who was displaced and to continue the services that kids are going to need for a while,
maybe
that's
you're
it.
A teacher with
that's
only
it.
A couple of years' experience. You have no idea. The kids are there. You don't know who they are or what their background is quite often.
Yeah, I paraphrase frequently one of the authors I read in doing that research. The needs of kids who were harmed by the storm will outlast the patience of the adults who are working with them, especially if you're not attentive to who they are and what their needs continue to be long-term after the storm.
And so I would assume this would redouble our need for counselors and mental health professionals, which you know is already an underfunded and inadequate supply of those in our schools right now. I assume this reemphasizes the need for a new commitment to that.
Absolutely. And not just in the short term.
Yeah.
It's got to be for the long haul. These kids are going to need help for a while.
So we got a special session. Legislators are coming back this coming week. to look at more allotments for hurricane relief. Do you have any sort of suggestions for them as to what they ought to be doing?
I think they've got the right agenda in mind. I've been following the areas of emphasis for the legislative session, the things that need to be doing in schools. And of course, the first priority is getting the doors open. That's a benefit not just to kids who really need the normalcy of that return to school, but it's also a benefit to parents who are trying to get lives back in order. Yeah, and get homes put together again and begin providing for their kids again. So that return to normalcy by that return to school is beneficial not just to kids but to their folks as well.
One last question is, we talked about the FastNC program. Is that something that listeners can contribute to?
Absolutely.
How would they go about
Absolutely.
Doing that?
Absolutely. So Google FastNC.
Okay.
Not NC Fast. There's actually another acronym
right.
out there.
This is Florence Aid to Students and Teachers in North Carolina.
Florence Aid to Students and Teachers, North Carolina, FastNC. And there's a way to contribute on the site either by check or by credit card. And we'll put those dollars to good use.
Thank you for doing that. Thanks for all your service to our state in the past and that it continues going forward. Much good luck to you. And we'll hopefully check in again to hopefully talk about the success this effort has had maybe a few months down the road.
We'll look forward to it. Thanks again for the opportunity to talk about it.
Up next, a look at the growing bipartisan movement to end mass incarceration. Stay with us.